Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I thought the spring was here. I guess not. We're all going to have to wait a little longer. DNA as a crystal. What that means to healing irreversible disease. Now, we're going to have to tie a lot of pieces of the puzzle together today. Again, the name of the show, DNA as a crystal. What that means to healing irreversible disease. Yes, the two have much to do with each other, of course, generally overlooked. Thus, the purpose and intention of the show. Good morning, if you're new to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Put on your thinking caps. Here we go. Concept, crystal. What is a crystal? Everybody's got this thing about crystals. It's kind of a new age thing. Down to brass tacks. Our interest, your interest in the crystal. Is it crystal by virtue of its design? Reverberates. Crystals vibrate. Vibrations imply what you call potentiations. Simple concept. You invest $50 in the stock market, you get a little bit back. You invest $50 million, you get your returns exponentially, as if something is vibrating on its own accord. In other words, dividends that you don't have to put energy into. And that's the thing about a crystal. If you hit a crystal with energy, the crystalline matrix creates an output that far exceeds the input. You just have to light the fire, so to speak. Now, that's big. The DNA as a crystal is big. And the reason it's big is because it implies that there's something about the DNA that goes beyond our chemical understanding of it. You got to think about that. Watson and Crick changed the world, won the Nobel Prize. In a heated race, Maurice Wilkins, Watson, Crick, Linus Pauling was in on it, Rosalind Frankel. Big race back in the 50s to understand the basic molecular structure, the double helical structure of DNA. Underneath it, it's crystalline. And its crystalline matrix implies something. It implies that all the energy we gave it to understand its biochemical design has an underpinning that's far more significant. That significance we're going to explore today. And yes, it relates to healing what is otherwise termed irreversible disease. I want to point out to you, I want to remind you of a group of people that you don't usually see, that you don't usually talk to, that you don't really know exist, except you kind of do in the background. They're called pathologists. Let's go to the show. I hope hopefully you're on the pictures. That's show 261. We're in our fifth year. Show 261. If you're new to the show, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're up there listening on radio in San Francisco, please get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Down here in the Southland, you already know. Get to the website so you can see the pictures, if you can. Pathologists. I want to introduce you to pathology, the concept of pathology. Pathology is the study. Well, pathology, as I'm going to term it today, or pathological analysis, those are the people that do your biopsies. I guess that's the best way to put it to you. The MD is the guy you shake hands with and talk to, and then they take tissue, biopsies. And those biopsies go to laboratories, and those chunks of your tissue get stained or centrifuged or dissolved in different materials, and back comes a report that goes to your MD that he reads to you. Some of you have been through this, and you get good news or you get bad news. The people that do that are called pathologists. Generally, not always, but generally, pathologists have medical degrees. So they go through medical school, and then they have to study beyond that. And they make a couple of $100,000 a year. There aren't a lot of them. Very learned people for their task. Very learned people for their task. Let's take a look at a few pathologists. What I want you to do is go to picture number, and I want you to go to picture number 17. Go to picture number 17. That is a pathologist. And yes, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here. That is a pathologist, and she's cutting up organs. And those organs, I guess, are going to go under the microscope after they are prepared to be stained. They may go under the electron microscope. Those are dead tissues that are being looked at. They're being looked at to be written up to tell the medical doctor who's interfacing between you and the pathologist whether you got the disease. And there's a billion and one ways you can describe cells under an electron microscope, and that's all part of the education that the pathologist gets. There you have it. That's who's telling you whether you're in trouble or not. Picture number 18. Yes, it's important to do this. Pathologists by geographic area and what they earn. That's gross, not net salaries. They earn a couple $100,000 a year generally, as much as $250,000 in South Central, $260,000 up at the Great Lakes, $189,000 in the Southwest. It's a good job. It's an important job. It's hard science. And it's who we depend upon to tell us that our disease is reversible or irreversible. That's important for you to understand. There's a little nuance built into that. Even if the pathologist knows that the disease is reversible, based upon what they see on histological, microscopic, electron microscopic analysis, even if the pathologist knows that in terms of the textbook, the disease is reversible, the medical doctor may not tell you that. And they may not tell you that because in their experience, they've never seen anyone reverse it, even though theoretically it's reversible. You have to understand that. You see, you got to understand that. So again, look at her at picture 17 in the event that she's about to give you bad news. That bad news is going to go to the medical doctor. Let's see picture number 19. And then the medical doctor is going to tell you that you have the disease and that this disease probably is not reversible, even if it might be reversible. And the gap between the two is because in the clinical experience of the doctor, it's not reversible. If you have something like diabetes, and in that doctor's experience, those cells in the island of Langerhans in the pancreas are oxidatively damaged to the point where they are necrotic, destroyed, apoptotic, senescent, whatever you want to call it, damaged, scarred up, kaput. If in the experience of the doctor that's getting the report, in that doctor's experience, the average person, I mean 99% of the time, has never turned it around. Not to mention that they've never turned it around, and here's the point, because they don't do anything for themselves, because they listen to the doctor that says there's nothing you can do, but we'll put that aside for a second. Into then the clinical background, the doctor will go and tell you that there's nothing you can do, and that's because it's irreversible. So this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have to understand that. You must understand what I'm saying. You have to understand that when the lady in picture 17 gives the path report to the MD, and the MD has a long 30 or 40 year history of telling you that there's nothing you can do, and therefore it's irreversible because in his experience, he's never seen anybody reverse it, forgetting that it's because they don't tell, because they don't do anything about the problem. You're being victimized by a very sick cycle indeed. Now, yes, in normal realms, cells do degrade to the point where there's so much scarring, necrosis, damage, destruction, that outside of the paraphysiological ranges, meaning stuff that, well, it's part of miracles, which we're not allowed to believe in, right? Right? We can go to church on Sunday. We can do Bible study. But if a medical doctor tells you your disease is irreversible, well, then there's no room in your imaginative faculty to just consider that things do reverse themselves. Oh, yeah, but that's just a miracle. Well, let's put a miracle into the science of regeneration, regenerating cells, and let's not wait for science to do that. And that's what I offer you as a thought today. But let's break this down a little bit more deeply. So, in the standard parlance of the time, you go to a doctor who sends a biopsy to a pathologist who analyzes it, and they send you back the information that you've got the disease based upon the way it looks. The doctor then, I will argue, subjectively tells you it's not reversible, only because most people he sees don't reverse it. Okay, good. We're going to start right there. Now, let's go back to picture number one. Number two, that DNA is a crystal. And that what the DNA does, well, now I want you to go to picture number eight. Go to picture number eight. Very simple sort of comic trick. DNA gives a signal to the RNA. It actually creates the RNA. We say DNA transcribes and creates ribonucleic acid, which translates then into the production of protein. So I want to just throw three words down. DNA, RNA, protein. Transcription, translation. Hold that. Go to picture number six. There you go. The DNA replicates. It transcribes a code to the RNA, and that specific code is a code that the RNA translates into making protein. Some of you have broached on this somewhere along your education. That thing, protein down there, that means building new tissue. That means you don't get the disease. That means you repair the damage. Protein, making protein from RNA as dictated from DNA, means that the genes, right? Genes on chromosomes, genes, which are composed of nucleotides, which are all part of this DNA molecule, ultimately talk to RNA, and then RNA makes proteins. When we say protein, we mean you repair your eyeballs. It means you repair your heart. It means you repair the cartilage in your knee. It means your kidneys keep filtering waste. It means your brain keeps thinking. There's this relationship between DNA, RNA, and protein. What pathology does is come on in and say, based upon the pictures under the electron microscope, that DNA is dead. Either the cell is gone, all where the cells were filled in with thick, scarred spaces, and they describe them in a million ways, or the cells are not completely obliterated, but so damaged that, well, they're going to sit there stupid for the rest of their life. And that making repair to the cell, even making new cells, are processes that aren't going to occur anymore because the tissue's just dead, kaput. And that, in a nutshell, is what your biopsy is about when it's telling you this isn't ever going to get fixed. Now, the reason this is myopic is because there are systems in the body capitalizing on the fact that DNA is a crystal, and that if its crystalline benefits, if the benefits of its crystalline nature can potentially be conferred to the body, well, then you have a whole new physiology, a whole new histology, a whole new response to what is otherwise termed irreversible processes. Capitalizing, if you can, upon the crystalline nature of the DNA. Yes, DNA is a crystal. Great. So what? Now let's discuss it biochemically. Wrong. You see, wrong. The people that you're listening to, from pathology to allopathy, are people who have stopped their educations at the biochemical level, lest they open their eyes to physical chemistry and biophysical analysis. No one studies physical chemistry. It's something no one does. And that's a problem. I can tell you from personal experience, where you start asking questions in biochemistry where you don't get answers is where physical chemistry begins. And where physical chemistry begins to limit your questions is where biophysics begins. But collectively, both physical chemistry and biophysics are not looked at. And yet the body, and you'll see these other areas I'm going to go into today, the body is begging us to get rid of, at times, this pathetic, myopic, short-sighted biochemical paradigm. All right? All right, I'm going to say it another way. Picture 17, look at that woman, God bless her, that woman who's probably an excellent pathologist is trapped in her biochemical model. You have to take this into yourself so you have the necessary strength to withstand the force of institution. You have to look at enough science. You have to study the history of science. You have to study the evolution of science. You have to play with your health. You have to even do things that doctors told you you couldn't do. You know, when I talk like this, it's because I've seen things that weren't supposed to go away. I've seen people reverse things that were not reversible. And initially, to my shock and dismay, I've seen standard allopathy look at it like that's just a coincidence. You know, people do heal brain tumors. People do heal terminal disease. People do get rid of, not a lot of people. It's not mainstream. It doesn't always happen. But every time I've seen it happen, and I have seen it happen, when it's brought to the attention of the medical community, 99% of the medical community walks away from it. They simply say, well, yes, we know these things happen at times. Now let me get back to telling another person that they're dead as a duck in the water. That is exactly what happens. And that's because they're trapped by a biochemical design, a biochemical understanding, when probably one of the two very greatest discoveries of the century, that being the double helical structure of the DNA molecule, points to DNA as a crystal, a vibrating crystal. What that means, most people don't understand. And this was my point. That once you tickle something that's made of a crystalline structure, it will take off on its own accord. The return on the energy outweighs many times what you put in. How does this occur? Yes, the very relevant question. Look at these systems here. So again, let's go to picture 11. Oxidative stress, right? Down there on the bottom, just about everything we do results in oxidation or inflammation. My regular listeners, of course, understand this. Oxidative stress is a subset of free radical stress, And free radical stress implies an immune response that basically defines what we call the inflammatory response. As the inflammatory response ensues, fibroblasts come in, immune system cells, and start depositing fibrin. It's what we call scarring. And then pathologists go in there and look at the state of affairs in between the cells and within the cells and say, this is a grade 1, grade 2, up to grade 5 problem. In other words, this is a small traffic jam, or this is a mess, and the cars are all melted together in one big clump, and forget ever seeing another happy day in your life. All right? So you've got the evolution here. Causes of oxidative stress. Everything causes. Life is oxidative stress. We break things down. Picture 12. Main causes of membrane damage. Lipid peroxidation. That's when free radicals destroy the fat in the cell membrane and in any other place that exists. And you can go through that on yourself. Lots of ways to describe how a cell falls apart. Picture 13. Mechanisms of cell injury. Yeah. After a while, the currency of the cell, what the cell produces, adenosine triphosphate, to get the job done, that oxidative phosphorylation from the inclusion of the glucose through glucolysis, through Krebs cycle, through oxidative phosphorylation becomes so poor, it becomes so inefficient that you don't make any ATP, and then you can't do anything, and then your cell can't repair, and then it rots out. And of course, most of this occurs in the mitochondria, which breaks down itself. That destroys the proper diffusion or osmotic processes through which minerals come in and come out of the cell. And in the end, your cell membrane just opens its doors to anything that wants to come in and eat the cell. There you go. Mechanism of cell injury. Is this hard? No, this isn't hard. This is common sense. Have you ever stood at a street corner and watched a demolition team come in and destroy a huge building? It's the same thing. How would you describe that? How would you describe the demolition of a building? You could describe it from a million angles. And this is what we educate people to do. To take pictures of cells and describe to the medical doctor and then to you, to the public, in a sense, how bad the apartment building has been already torn down and whether or not we think it's been so torn to the foundation that we'll never repair it again. That's pathology in a nutshell. You got it. See, it's simple. It's not complicated. Science isn't complicated. We make it complicated. Picture 24. The pineal gland. Picture 24, the pineal gland. The pineal gland has something to do with reversing this. Go to picture number 30. Picture 30. DMT, the spirit molecule. Doctors' revolutionary research into the biology of near-death and mystical experience. Rick Strassman, MD. You can see this video, this documentary on YouTube, free on YouTube. Just put in DMT, the spirit molecule, or Rick Strassman. It's a great little 1-2 hour plug on what comes out of the pineal gland. Dimethyltryptamine, DMT. We talk about it in its secretion as something that saintly people or people that live in mystical states, the Christian saints, the Catholic saints, all the saints of all the religions, producing more than normal amounts of this molecule that create these feelings of ecstasy, insights into the world beyond. And that's the way we introduce it. How about this? How about this? Could it possibly be that something related to this compound has something to do with the miracles across all religions, not just Christianity, bestowed to people who could receive? How about that? Is that too much for pathology to wrap their brain around? Or are what we doing when we see these cures? Or are what we doing when we see these cures that occur occasionally, these miracles that occur occasionally, where people cure diseases, cancer included, when they come back from autoimmune disease? Or in fact, we just sweeping them under the rug because our biochemical model can't reach out and suspect that maybe something like DMT or something similar is at work here. You see? I want you to catch the schism. The minute something in science isn't understood, it gets pawned off as anecdotal. If it's not pawned off as anecdotal, it's pawned off as, well, that's spiritual. That was a miracle. I'm a medical doctor. I'm a pathologist. I believe in God. That person's brain tumor disappeared. That person's Alzheimer's disappeared. That person's lupus or multiple sclerosis or scleroderma disappeared. We don't have any way to understand it, but I'm a good Christian doctor. I'll admit it happened. It must be a miracle. You see, this is the thing. This is a problem. This is the point at which we won't take a look at science and just imagine that our biochemical model is weak. And this is the myopia of pathology. Introducing pineal gland, introducing DMT. Let's keep going. Introducing a picture here of the superior colliculus and the third ventricle. I want you to catch this. Go to picture 33. I want you to blow up picture 33. You got to blow it up a little. Because you see that little pointed cone in the center? It says pineal gland. It says picture 33. You got to catch this. Picture 33. Pineal gland. You see above it that hole? It's a very kinky picture. Picture 33. The Greeks had a field day with this back in the old days. I mean, look at that. Pineal gland actually translates to penis. The third ventricle there, that big hole, that speaks for itself. And the colliculuses are obviously breasts. Now look at that thing. Much ado about this pineal gland. Interesting how it's located between two breasts, just below this big hole, that being the third ventricle. Now let's take a look at the third ventricle. Let's take a look at the ventricular system of the body is what I'm really saying. So let's take a look. Go to picture number, would be the best picture for this. Go to picture number. Yeah, go to picture 31 just for a second. There. That green thing. Look at where that thing is. Okay. Some of you, this is new to. Now go to picture 34. Go to picture 34. And blow up 34. Now what I need you to find on 34... go to the lower left-hand corner of 34. The lower left-hand corner of 34. And look at the word third ventricle. And follow that to the third ventricle. Now go 1, 2, 3, 4 below where it says third ventricle to the pineal recess. Pineal recess. So follow pineal recess all the way up. That area on the third ventricle near the pineal recess, that area, now hold that. I want you to go back to that other picture now. Go back to that other picture that we just looked at. I'm having a little trouble with my screen, so pardon my pauses here. I want you to go to back now to picture number 33. Blow that up. Now look at the pineal gland and the third ventricle. The prior picture, when you saw pineal recess, that pineal recess of the third ventricle is what you're looking at right now on this picture. It's telling you that the third ventricle articulates with the pineal gland. It's telling you that the third ventricle can potentially pump up against, pulse against the pineal gland. It's telling you that the third ventricle and the pineal gland have a very, very important relationship. Now, that third ventricle is part of what? Well, some of you know. The third ventricle is part of the ventricular system of the brain. Well, we have the ventricular system of the heart, right? So everybody knows that the ventricles of the heart pump the blood. Well, if you look now again at picture 34, that's the ventricular system of the brain. So going back and looking at picture 34, you don't need to blow it up, but that's the pumping system of the brain. That third ventricle down near the pineal recess pumps the pineal gland. The question is, at what frequency? This is where this crystal thing is going to come in eventually. At what frequency is there a rate that you're pumping? What's the pumping rate? How many times per second is it vibrating? And once it's vibrating at a certain level, could it make other things vibrate? In fact, is the whole body vibrating? Well, that's not news to anybody. Of course it is. That the body's an electromagnetic field that vibrates isn't news to anyone. I've had my chemistry teachers sit down and say, well, that's not news to me that the body's an electromagnetic field. Great. Well, if we can admit that, then why do we turn the other cheek when we suspect that there have been other paradigms that work to change the vibrational level of the organism? Because we can't measure it. You see, that's why we're stupid. Your classic chemist will say, of course my chemical model is subjugate to the electromagnetic field of the body. Of course it is. They will say this. They say it to me consistently. But then when you ask them to consider how to manipulate that in terms of the standard of care, meaning how John Q. Smith, the donut truck driver, how he thinks about his lupus, well, then it all falls apart. Back to the biochemical model, and the PATH report says that the disease is irreversible and you ain't going anywhere based on my experience of people listening to me tell them you ain't going in anywhere. This is the point. What we should be doing is saying, yes, if we understand through physical chemistry and biophysical medicine or biophysical assay or biophysical insight that the body's an electromagnetic field supreme to the biochemistry of the body, and then we come out and publish articles about the crystalline matrix of the DNA, and we just can't consider a hookup between the two. That is beyond me. It is truly beyond me. That is where we're stupid. Just stupid. There's no other word for it. Our species is dumb. Or something. It doesn't matter what. The point is, are you getting this? And can you get this deeply enough to take it to the trenches? And the trenches are when the institutions at large give you bad news. And you sit there in disbelief at the bad news and ask God why God forgot and betrayed you. And you basically drink the Kool-Aid. When you're just being lied to, you see? Now we have a nation of people that are doing this. I see people do it all the time. I see people into holistic medicine do it all the time. People who swear by it, who buy their supplements and buy their herbs and do their cleanses. And then when it doesn't work, when it gets a little rough, they bend. In the end, The biochemical model is going to determine your future. Don't do that. That's foolish. Don't do that. There's so much more science here. Pineal gland, DMT, opiates, the ventricular system of the brain, the location of the third ventricle in relationship to the pineal gland. Now go to picture 41, the dural tissue. I talk about these in segmented ways regularly, but when you put it all together and then you bring it to this thing we tout that the DNA is a crystalline matrix, understanding what that means, well, now we have a deeper case here. It more strongly suggests that there's a science to the biophysics of the body, that there's a methodology, that there's a functionality, that there's a way to experience your electromagnetic essence. There's a way to manipulate it. There's a way to turn it on. Of course, this is what prana and chi and the rest of it's all about, something that I will be argumentative. I will be adamant. I will be relentless in telling you that these things, unfortunately, for 99% of our population are just words. They don't mean anything. When you say to people prana and chi and they nod their head, they nod it, but they're not having an experience of it. And that makes all the difference. And the problem with that, of course, is that when you need it, it isn't there for you. So what I'm suggesting to you is that the experience of the electromagnetic you is evidenced in your experience of the flow of things that the East and others have given the word prana or chi or universal life force or the God energy or whatever you want to call it. And that rather than denigrate these things into mystical nonsense, understand that there is something superior in the body to what the PATH report says, locked in its myopic biochemical pattern. And that to manipulate this so-called energy field, God gave us tools. He gave us body parts. And locked into those body parts are things like the pineal gland. And isolated out of the pineal gland are chemicals like DMT. Now we're going back to the DNA eventually and protein synthesis. Now the dural tissue here, this dural tissue around your head, yes it is, picture 41. This dural tissue around your spine, yes it is. Look at picture number 39. Look at picture 39. Look at picture 40. FC, that's the falx cerebrae. TC, tentorium cerebelli. I love those names. The dural tissue is three-dimensional in the brain, covering the brain, covering the spinal cord, going down to the sacrum. And this dural tissue is being vibrated through the Christogale. Go to picture 38. Picture 38. Breath through the nose, through the cribriform plate of the ethmoid bone. Picture 38 now. Tintillating, vibrating the entire line of the dural tube from the brain to the sacrum to back with a prolific effect on none other than picture 37. Look at picture 37. Those arrows in picture 37. That's the flow of the cerebral spinal fluid. That's the milk of the brain. I showed you an article a number of weeks ago about how now, finally, scientists are realizing that when you get a straight night's sleep, the cerebral spinal fluid et al. Drains the brain and the toxins in the brain more thoroughly so that the nerve tissue can stay strong and regenerate. Finally. Finally, that we know there's something about the flow of cerebral spinal fluid and the drainage of it that has to do with keeping the brain healthy. Finally. This stuff's been around for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Finally, we're publishing it in Scientific American. So maybe something's true. But further studies need to be done over the next 2,000 years while we wait money from the NIH for findings and confirmation of something we knew 30,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago or whatever you decide to believe. You see how stupid that is? Can't say stupid. Not politically correct. Don't vote for me. I say stupid on the air. Stupid's negative. You can't be negative. You got to be positive. When your house is falling down on your head, can't get angry. You got to smile. This is stupid in plain English. It's right there. It's so beautiful. The pineal gland, situated in between the colliculuses, tintillated by the third ventricle, the ventricular system controlled by the breath through something called the Christigala, which means starship. Back to Egyptian times, it means starship. The Latins missed it. The Greeks missed it, but the Egyptians had it. It's beautiful. And the blood transforming itself through the choroid plexus of the ventricle, of the core of the ventricle, into something white and clear from blood that serves to clean and sweep the neurons of the brain, all trillion of them, trillions of them, so that they can stay fresh and young when you're 90. And that this would be under the control of the breath and the bite? That's beautiful. How can we not see that? It's so beautiful. Now, to be able to put that together against a pathology report that says you have breast cancer, or you have Alzheimer's, or Parkinson's, or you're going senile, or you have an autoimmune disease, to put all that together to stand coherent in the electromagnetic model against the myopic biochemical one is your responsibility. You didn't get this show until you can really relax into your disease. You don't understand the show until you can relax into your disease. And understand, okay, understand that your evolution to this demands patience. And practice and trial and error, which means failure and success. It's an evolution. Health is an evolution. Healing illness is an evolution. So why are we marketing out all these quick cures for it? Why are we telling people, drop this therapy in and get the miracle fast? Why are we doing that? Holistic medicine does that, not allopathy. Allopathy abhors, they abominate. When holistic medicine makes claims it can't support. So one field, allopathy, denies us a possibility. And then holistic marketing exaggerates claim and turns what I'm talking about, which is an evolution of the soul, into an overnight remedy. What a wonderful species we are. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That must have been what Christ meant. He must have felt the prevalent ignorance and still had to reach down deep and find the faith to say that. Pineal gland, cerebral spinal fluid, the breath. And there's the cell. Picture 42. There's the cell. There's the healthy young cell. You know, you deal with sick people all the time, people with disease, people with problems, people with psychological problems, people with physical problems, people with life-threatening stuff. You deal with that all the time. Then you look at little kids. You just look at little kids sitting there with their teeth growing in. Their teeth growing in. Right. You and them, you have a lot in common. Neither of you have teeth. You're both missing teeth. get big holes in your face. The difference is they're growing in new teeth. Little kids. Fresh, like that cell. Now then there's picture 43. Cell attacked by free radicals. Give it 10 years. Give that little kid 20 years. Give that little kid 30 years. Little kids, they just keep bouncing back, don't they? They beat themselves half to death. They just keep bouncing back. Do that. Do that. Go to one of your local colleges and watch a football game. Watch what people do to each other. Watch those football games where they don't even wear equipment like rag tackle. On the soft grass of the green meadow, a bunch of 20-year-old males engage in rag tackle. And watch what they do to each other. They get hit by trucks, and they bounce back up and run away. They shake off physical injury. They shake off physical trauma in ways that would put most 60-year-olds in the hospital for the rest of their life. I was watching them do it the other week at 20. The pounding they can take in their bodies. Now you give those bodies another 10 years and another 20 years and another 30 years. And my point to you, if they were to stop at some point, you see, just about the time they started to look like picture 43, where the amount of oxidative stress to their tissue got them to a stage of near reversibility, of near irreversibility, the point upon which they're going to go down. And they didn't listen to their medical doctor, and they didn't listen to the biochemical paradigm, and they began to work at 40 or 50 or 60 years old in the correct direction. They would have to be patient enough to develop communication with deeper systems of the body, like the Pinellian intelligence. And, of course, what did God give you to do that? He gave you the neuroendocrine system. The neuroendocrine system. You have to work along. You have to work long enough and healthy enough and diligently enough until you can affect the glandular system. And, of course, someone thinks that means take an herb to help the adrenals. And then you'll hear me hit the floor cold. Yes. Neuroendocrine system. It means prime the glandular system by priming the neurological system. Why? To the rescue, picture 48. Go to picture 48. Now there it is. Autonomic control. The autonomic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system, the nerves which pump the electromagnetic force into the cells to stimulate repair, as opposed to the sympathetic nervous system, which burns the cell out to prevent it from repair. The balance of those two systems occurs in the hypothalamus gland. And the hypothalamic efficiency determines the glandular cues. The hypothalamic efficiency determines the glandular cues. If the hypothalamus is intelligent, if the cranial rhythms are coherent, if the breath is open, if the body has trained itself, it will begin to send cues via the autonomics through the vagus nerve into the cell to stimulate a response from the cell through the DNA. Now we're getting there. You can get to your DNA so that it can do more of what it's supposed to do and begin to reinitiate what soon to be will not be occurring. You can turn on what will otherwise be dead DNA, destroyed DNA, DNA done, with a capital D, dead DNA. You can begin to tickle it. That's what the neuroendocrine system is there for. Because if that DNA doesn't take cues to code for protein synthesis, then your cell will not repair itself out of the dungeon of hell that it's about to fall into. You get that? Why, tell me why doesn't this make sense to your family? Why do you listen to this show and not your neighbors? Well, I talk to my neighbors. They just don't. They don't know. They don't know. Why doesn't your MD get this? How can you call this non-scientific? What is it that makes you get this? I want you to think about that. What is it that makes this turn you on? What do you have that someone else doesn't? Oh, they just haven't heard about it. You think that's it? You think people aren't turned on by this because they haven't heard about it? You have to come to terms with the fact that you could beat them over the head. You could pay them to learn this stuff, and they would still fail. You just have to forgive them, you see. You're not going to teach them. You're going to forgive them because they're the ones that make you vaccinate your kids. They're the ones that tell you DDT isn't dangerous. They're the ones that tell you cigarettes don't cause cancer. They're the ones that tell you it's okay to cut out your uterus. They're the ones that tell you it's okay to cut out your gallbladder. They're the ones that tell you to do more chemotherapy after your oncologists tell you any more chemotherapy will kill you. There's always someone in the family that says, nah, you should do more chemotherapy. The only thing you can do with those people is forgive them. They are truly lost. But you see, the payoff for you, if you can let them go, if you can maintain your center around their ignorance, is that you get that much closer to igniting your own systems. See, if you can understand this show, if this show can turn you on, it is your mandate to experience some of this stuff. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth and you want a different, fresh perspective, and you're patient and you want to work, 714-850-1007. That means call that number, speak to my office staff, make an appointment, come in, sit down, spend the money, and get going. 714-850-1007. Okay, there's my commercial. Now let's get back to it. DNA is a crystal. It's sitting there waiting for you to ignite its crystalline structure so it can code in a paranormal way the tissue, the stuff that your cell needs to regenerate. To do that, you've got to initiate it. You've got to bring your frequency to the level of the crystalline matrix of the DNA. You've got to bring it there. You do that. You've been given centers to do that. The dural system, the breath, and mediating all of these exercises is the neuroendocrine system through the hypothalamic center, the center of the autonomic system, the center of the endocrine system, up there, the hypothalamus, above the pituitary, next to the pineal, all put there by design, deliberate design. Now, in that vibrational quest comes the stimulation of the stem cells of the bone marrow. In that vibrational quest will come the stimulation of the stem cells in the bone marrow. So go to picture 47. Well, look at picture 46 first. Picture 46 first. Potential uses of stem cells. All the things we can do and cure with stem cells. There we go. Missing teeth, baldness, blindness, deafness, stroke, rheumatoid, Crohn's, diabetes, cancer, the whole thing. Gave the 2012 Nobel Prize to a couple of the guys that made stem cells, pluripotent stem cells from normal, healthy skin cells. This is where hard science is going. The point is, these stem cells, go to picture 47. Stem cells in the bone marrow get sent to the organ you need it to. stem cells get sent there. You've got to stimulate those stem cells. Those stem cells from the bone marrow have to increase their numbers. They have to be told what to do. And they're told what to do through the autonomic nervous system as controlled by the hypothalamus. The hypothalamic axis turns on the bone marrow. The bone marrow delivers stem cells to sites, sites that have been cleared out because of your detoxifications. Your detoxifications, clearing out the extracellular matrix, prepare for the depositing of the stem cells as turned on by the neuroendocrine system as a product of your training. Those stem cells are giving the DNA a message. Those stem cells in the DNA have a relationship with each other. Those stem cells are talking to the DNA. And whether that is stimulating mitosis, in other words, cell replication, whether it's stimulating new cells, whether the stem cells are morphing into new cells, something is going on there. Something is going on there that's being invited by the crystalline matrix of the DNA. All in all, from stem cell deployment to an upregulation of the hypothalamic intelligence, to a change in the pulsing of the ventricular system, to a change in the frequency and efficacy of breath, all these systems that induce motion are creating current. Current. The current of the body is changing. When that current hits a certain pitch, you will see your miracle. Now, there it is. Holistic medicine in a nutshell. I'll be saying it, and I'll be doing my own miracles for as long as I'm here. Join me. 714-850-1007. Hope you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.